listening to the Gridiron Growl Podcast from ChompTalk.com.
Yeah, you know, we'll evaluate all that stuff, you know, after the course of the game. You know, it's always much easier if there's one thing that you put your finger on, you know, and say, okay, hey, this is the one thing that was the issue, and let's go fix that one thing. We'll evaluate a lot. We got a bye week coming up. We'll evaluate a lot of different things because it does. It seems there's you guys have the stats. I don't have the stats. You know, we fix up some things, and then you know some other things kind of come and bite us. So, but you give them credit. They came out. I do. The one stat to me stands out a lot is the, you know, we're -4 turnover ratio. -4.3 turnovers lead to 21 points. You know, you flip that around. If we're +4 turnover ratio, it leads to 21 points for us, and none for them. I think that's a big part of it. So, you know, it's all little different things. It's, you know, Billy, we didn't stop the run and make the stops we needed to in the second half. When we started to gain momentum, every time we'd get that, you know, we kind of fixed to get ourselves out of the hole. We kind of, you know, couldn't get the stop to get over the hump. You know, nothing changed my perspective on anything. We're always evaluating things throughout the course of the season in everything that we do. It's a long season. We're in the middle point of the season here going into our bye week. And, you know, like I said, I'll evaluate what we did well, what we did poorly. We'll go look at the film and see how we can improve it, you know, for 2 weeks from now. Well, you know, I think it is. It's the execution of it. You know, and some things he missed. I thought he did a really good job. He was in there. You know, he got hot. You know, and so we kind of stuck with him because, you know, I mean, he was kind of hot, and I think we had some momentum offensively. He goes down, and you just see, you know, the maturity of Emery. I don't think anybody, I mean, can understand how big a play that was Emery made in the game. I mean, for a quarterback. In that situation, to come up and make that play that he made is that was probably the play of the game for us offensively. The ability to come in and do that, I thought was pretty special. So, but I think, hey, you know, I mean, it's good building for Anthony. Anthony had some confidence early, kind of got, you know, a little taste of reality, had to build up some calluses there over the last couple of weeks, and I think this will continue to build his confidence moving forward.
Welcome to the Gridiron Growl Podcast, part of ChompTalk.com. Mark McLeod with you. You can follow me on Twitter at McLeod Live, McLeod Live. And, of course, check me out as well on my podcast, The Gator Blitz. And I'm joined by co-host Jake Hitt. Jake, how you doing, my friend? Tell everybody how they can follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, Mark, I'm doing great. Everybody can follow me at Jake_Hitt, HITT06. That's my Twitter. And then most of my stuff you can find on InsideTheGators.com, but I do grade the Gators for Chomp Talk every single week. That'll be out as well. Be sure to check it out.
Well, yet again, we have another disaster to talk about tonight. Florida, the loss to LSU, 49-42. It's been a tough 3 weeks for the Gator Nation with the 2013 loss to Kentucky, which should have never happened. Then you go beat Vanderbilt, and really an underwhelming win. It's hard to say it is, but at 42-0, yes, that was an underwhelming win and one that we had a lot of issues with. And now, of course, yet another loss to a coach that was definitely on the hot seat. And, of course, Coach O, he's done at LSU, so he'll be out there. And, by the way, if he gets another win at LSU this season, that would be his 50th win. So he would be 50-17 at LSU. Hard to believe when you're sitting right there at 750 that you could be canned, but that's exactly the situation. And look, quite honestly, Jake, there are a lot of people, as we've been talking about the past few weeks, having as major issues with Dan Mullen as you and I. But now they're scratching their heads going, yeah, it just seems like there's something up with Mullen. Mullen doesn't appear to be the right guy.
You know, I think it's more, I think for a lot of people who've seen this take, you know, it's more, and Mullen can be the right guy. He has to make the changes. If he doesn't make the changes that can make the team successful, then no, he's not the right coach, which it's the same I think I remember somebody writing that, you know, Dan Mullen, when he first came in, looked like the beginning of or the inklings of, you know, a Steve Spurrier or an Urban Meyer. Now he's starting to look a lot like the guys who got fired before him, you know, guys who were at least one in specific, Jim McElwain, a guy who was unwilling to, you know, make the right changes and get rid of guys who he was all buddy-buddy with. You know, with Mac, it was Doug Nussmeier. With Dan, it's Todd Grantham. And, you know, there's just some things on the staff and in the football team that something has to change if Dan wants to have success and, you know, wants to keep his job for sure.
I thought of this, and look, this is a make-believe scenario, so nobody really take this serious. This is not what I'm proposing. Just
Mark
talk.
Cannot emphasize how hypothetical this scenario
is. There you go. Thank you very much. It's always good to have you on my side, my friend. We need a trade, and this is on the field only. On the field only. Tell me that Dan Mullen wouldn't be a better fit with the Jacksonville Jaguars and Urban Meyer wouldn't be a better fit with the University of Florida.
Oh, God.
It would be. Look, recruiting. Urban lives for recruiting. Urban takes recruiting personal. It is a challenge for him. Recruiting, that is his fire. He wants to go at you in recruiting. He wants to beat you in recruiting. And Dan Mullen doesn't have that. Dan Mullen could go to the Jacksonville Jaguars and he could do what he wants to do, and that is coach a great quarterback. Oh, well, how about that? There's Trevor Lawrence. So Dan Mullen could go in and work with a guy who needs a bit of polishing, but who, let's face it, skill set, that's for sure, but just doesn't have the pieces around him. You know, so you look at Urban Meyer, recruiting, staff assessment, preparation. And look, I'm not proposing, I'm not even saying, and I'm not stating in any way that's what I want to happen. I'm just saying, isn't it funny that right here in this day and age, 2021, here in North Central Florida, you have a guy who's coaching the Jacksonville Jaguars, who really would be a better fit at Florida, and a guy who's at Florida that would probably be a better fit with the Jacksonville Jaguars because he doesn't want to recruit. That's not his thing. Recruiting isn't his thing. You know, but Urban, staff assessment, preparation overall. And, you know, that's one of the big issues, let's face it, that we're seeing with Dan Mullen, especially this weekend. That don't tell me that team was prepared.
Yeah, I think with this loss, you know, we'll get to your hypothetical Jaguar scenario in a second. But, you know, with this loss, you felt like it wasn't going to feel good the second they ran the first play and nobody blocked and Malik Davis had to pick up 7 yards by himself. You know, it's even more evident when a team runs the same counter play 11 times in a row and you can't stop it or can't make the adjustment. You know, it sounds like a lot of hyperbole, but I've never seen a team struggle to stop one play and never make the adjustment ever in the game.
That was absolutely unbelievable. The thing that I've been harping on for the past few weeks is, and really my first point, I guess, goes back years with Dan Mullen. Florida must work on recruiting. Don't tell me that if Florida hadn't had more success recruiting, they wouldn't have found a way to get it done over Kentucky, that they wouldn't have found a way to get it done last weekend in Baton Rouge. I believe they would have had the recruiting been better across the board for the University of Florida. But that's neither here nor there. It doesn't matter. You know, it's a non-factor. That's just nothing but my opinion that I believe they probably could have got it done here and there and helped themselves out greatly against Alabama.
Well, I think it probably helped them, you know, helped LSU, because LSU, you know, when you get recruiting, you have depth, good depth that you can rely on. Yeah.
That's Florida's my point. If you're banged up, that's what you want.
And it was more, you know, it's not like Florida starters are bad, but, you know, when you have to play, you know, a guy who's more of a weak side linebacker and Mahmoud Diabate, you know, at the mic because you're down your mic, or you have to play, you know, a redshirt freshman at corner because your starting corner went down, or a freshman at corner because your starting corner went down. And then, you know, and then you don't have as many, you know, playmakers or anything on the outside, or, you know, offensive linemen. So if one guy's nicked up, he doesn't have to play hurt. Or if one guy goes down, the whole thing doesn't fall apart. So like you said, you know, recruiting definitely showed its head in the fact that it's what made LSU still competitive against the ones and twos of Florida.
Yeah, and the thing that drives me nuts about Dan Mullen, and I've been critical of him with this for at least 2 years, 3 years, is that I guess roughly 3 years, because I really, you know, going back after that first year, Ron English, as a safeties coach, I said, you got to part ways with Ron English. There's one other staff move you probably are going to have to make. Mullen, just, again, the loyalty to these guys is it's killing him. Todd Grantham, case in point, you touched on that. I've seen a lot of coaches go by the wayside because they refused to make some changes within the staff, and that's football, that's baseball, that's basketball, that they should have made, and it hurt them in the long run. And that's exactly it. You know, as far as the Mullen right now, recruiting is one to me. You know, it's one. But right there with it, this team discipline. This team, for whatever reason, has played very undisciplined football under Dan Mullen. And that, like it or not, that points right back to the staff and points back to preparation. I've complained this team hasn't played 60 minutes of football this entire season. And again, we see yet another week where that doesn't happen. If you get to the biggest offensive issues, if you're going to just hone in on it, there's several. You know, developing a passing game in the red zone, that's gotten better, actually. But the Emory Jones, you know, God love the kid. I mean, he's trying. But, Jake, when he makes a bad decision, too often it is a horrendous decision that really becomes a big game changer. And that's a big problem for him. You know, Mullen, some of the decisions he made, good gracious. It drove me nuts to see Anthony Richardson come in that first quarter and hand the ball off, and then punt. I'm sitting there thinking, Dan, you had the momentum on your side. If you're going to do that, just let Emory go back in and try and duplicate what you did earlier and go take the lead and try and run this thing down their throat. And, you know, of course, we've heard that Anthony's not ready. Then Anthony comes in the second half. He turns the game over to the kid. And I saw a lot of situations where the kid looked pretty ready to me.
Yeah, I think I read something the other day or earlier today. You know, when Emory Jones is the quarterback, and I don't think we can say enough nice things about Emory Jones, the person.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel bad to criticize him because of how long he's waited and the kind of guy he is. When you see Emory Jones in there and he's running the offense, when he makes a mistake, it is almost that much more significant that he's done it because of how the offense operates when he's in. When Anthony Richardson's in, they somehow magically will move the football. Even if he throws a pick, you know, you think, okay, they're going to get the ball and they're going to score here on this next drive when they get the ball back. So, you know, I agree with you. I mean, there were times where he looked ready. You know, there were times where he didn't look ready. Like when he's got pressure in his face, he just throws the ball up. And he gives up a pick, and, you know, that's your ball game.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but a guy that's been here in this program since Mullen came in, that shouldn't be happening. It shouldn't be happening. It doesn't it remind you a bit of the Felipe Franks?
I was talking about Richardson.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Jones earlier.
Now, Emory did have some bad picks. No, I will say that. But it you know, it's almost like the opposite of, you know, when, you know, and you hate bringing the Spurrier thing up all the time, but it's almost the opposite of Spurrier. You know, when he used the quarterbacks, they could move the ball regardless of whoever was running the offense. It's almost like here you have two quarterbacks and you have no quarterbacks because both of them are susceptible to making some pretty, you know, bad mistakes. And because one's a freshman and one's just not efficient, and it's not just the mistakes. I mean, sometimes they just won't be able to move the football because, you know, like I said, Anthony Richardson might be a freshman and he'll take a sack at a bad time and they'll put him behind the chains. Then they won't be able to move on and, you know, get a first down. With Emory, it could be he just misses a read and has to throw a ball away, and it becomes like a Felipe Frank situation where he's just looking downfield and he doesn't throw the ball. So, like I said, it's almost like Dan's got nobody to run the offense because both guys are susceptible to keeping the offense from moving.
Should have been in a better situation by now.
Well, I mean, he's stockpiled guys.
Yeah,
he's got plenty of guys. It's just a matter of whether they can play or not. And you know, and it's I do believe he should be going with Anthony Richardson the rest of the year.
I think he has to. Because of
the fact that, you know, you keep saying it's like that whole thing with when you talk about trying to get a job when you're a teenager. They say you apply for a job. They say, "Oh, you need experience." And it's like, "Well, how do I get experience? Well, you gotta get a job." It's like one of those. It's like a vicious cycle kind of deal, you know. Anthony Richardson. He doesn't trust Anthony Richardson because he's a freshman. Has been in that scenario. Well, how's he supposed to be trusted if you don't put him in that scenario? He's got to be able to play more snaps in order to, you know, get the reps and learn actually in game. And you hate to say that because it's going to take away from a guy like Emory Jones, but. You know, it's almost like a situation where you might have to move on from Emory Jones. Emory Jones might have to go somewhere else. And, you know, if he flourishes, good for him. He deserves some success in his life for all the time he's waited on the bench.
Yeah, sometimes things just work out better for you. There were times with Felipe Franks, you know, you were scratching your head because he made some of the same egregious mistakes that Emory Jones has made.
Yeah, and I think that's what people have said. I think that was an analysis I saw. You know, it's going to be kind of like Felipe Franks. He's going to make some pretty spectacular plays. He's also going to miss the gimmies a good amount. And I think when you go through a year and a half of a guy like Kyle Trask doing both, yeah, it makes the missing the gimmies a lot more of a bigger deal because you're used to seeing those, you know, a guy make the right play or a guy make the right read or, you know, a guy somehow, you know, get out of a bad situation. Or they just do the simple things. With Emory Jones, if he misses a guy on a curl route because he ducks it, you know, that's going to make it all the more significant because they just watched Kyle Trask not do that exact thing. And, you know, like I said, a change of scenery might be good because look at Felipe Franks. Did you think Felipe Franks was going to be drafted after his, fourth year at Florida? After 2019, before the ankle injury?
Yeah, exactly.
No, but he ends up, he goes to Arkansas, he plays okay, he gets a flyer, he's now on an NFL roster.
Yeah, and you look at Jeff Driskel, same situation. I mean, Driskel was not well coached at Florida. We all understand that, we all get that. Driskel was a talent. He was not well coached at Florida. That's the truth of the matter.
Jeff Driskel goes to Mississippi State, it's a whole different ballgame
right,
for him.
Right, that's exactly right. Or if he gets coached by Urban Meyer. It's a different game. You're absolutely right. I thought the same thing many times. But that's what you see. And look, we all get that there was a time when Kyle Trask, you know, injured his ankle, his foot, you know, where he wasn't able to compete with Felipe Franks. But even when he did, didn't seem like he was given a shot. And everybody who watched any Florida football practices knew that he was better in terms of accuracy than Felipe was. It's just the truth. You know, defensively, as we look at Florida, we could talk about the offense all night, but defensively,
we could talk about the quarterbacks all night.
Well, we could. And I'm with you. Anthony Richardson needs to be the starter going forward. Just give the kid a shot.
I think you need that kid, you know. The Georgia game's going to be really ugly, and you need him to live through that experience so he knows what it's like to play a Kirby Smart defense. But we can save that for next week.
You know, I sit here and say that I think Anthony Richardson should be your starter going forward. Your next game is Georgia. I don't think Dan Mullen's going to do that. I just have a feeling that Dan Mullen's going to come out there with Emory Jones as a starter because it's a big Georgia game. Go back to the Alabama game. All knew. Everybody listening to this podcast, I think, knew that after the FAU and USF games, there's no way, because that decision had probably been made 8 months earlier during the spring, that there was no way Dan Mullen was going to roll into the Alabama game with Anthony Richardson as a first-time starter. I just don't think he does it again this time. But I could be wrong. The difference in this one is they have 2 weeks to prepare. But I think Dan Mullen would love to have Emory Jones show up at practice, really do some nice things and give him confidence, and then go with Jones in that Georgia game. But, you know, again, that difference is 2 weeks. That's just my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It'd be a very Dan Mullen move to be like, we'll look at it, we'll see where they are, we'll make a decision, and then he comes out Monday morning or Monday afternoon for the Georgia week, goes, Emory Jones will be starting this week. You just feel like gives us a good chance to win. He's experienced. He's played in this game before, blah, blah, blah. You know, the whole, the usual yep. platitude about whatever.
That's what I see happening.
No, it's, I agree with you. It could very well happen. God hopes you don't, but I just think it'll be ugly either way. So why not let your guy get trampled?
Defensively, they still haven't stopped the trap. I mean, how many times do we see these LSU offensive linemen pulling on the play and just making the block? It's like the Florida defensive front couldn't get off the blocks, and Davis Price is still running for more yardage. 287, three touchdowns. I sure didn't see that coming. That was one that I got to admit sort of shocked me. LSU in the game goes for 321. You know, you couple that with issues with Todd Grantham, it looked like the defensive staff at times they didn't make the adjustments, or if they did make the adjustments, they weren't on the same page. It just was what a miserable defensive performance it was for Florida overall. And look, let's not lose sight of the fact that Max Johnson wasn't going to win a Heisman Trophy with the numbers, 14 of 24, 133. But when they needed him to in the red zone, he crushed Florida. Three touchdown passes in that game.
To the same guy.
Yeah.
That guy had three catches on the day. All of them were touchdowns for Max Johnson.
Yeah,
whenever
Jenkins.
He plays Florida, he somehow just turns into Steve Young for no reason. Like, back to what you were saying about, you know, the run defense, I found a pretty interesting stat on Twitter today from a guy who does all those, you know, those, I just call them sabermetrics because I'm a baseball guy, but all those, you know, those new age stats, next gen stuff. LSU had 175 yards before contact, meaning they got 175 yards in total before the first guy made contact with him, touched him. 4.5 yards a carry on those 175 yards. So before this guy is even touched, he's halfway to the first down marker.
Ridiculous.
And now, it was about 3 or so in the first half. The second half, it was like 6.5 or something like that. And, you know, that's just, like I said, that's a counterplay. You can't make an adjustment to a counterplay. It doesn't matter if you saw it on the film or not. You know what a counterplay looks like out of an RPO set or out of the shotgun or whatever. You know, that's some high school stuff. And, you know, I think with Todd Grantham, I think, you know, a lot of people were like, oh my God, you got Todd Grantham? Like, this is going to be bad. Like, he's going to cost you games. And I think people thought, at least for me, you know, it would be like, okay, they'll give up like 30 points in a couple games and they'll lose and they'll get in a shootout. It's been like 40 points like several times in the last year and a half.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody expected it to be like Big 12 defense bad. Like, I can't even name you a good Big 12 defensive coordinator or a notable one that was bad. That's
well,
how bad.
And again, it falls right on Dan Mullen. His loyalty to staff. Are you kidding me? You couldn't go find another defensive coordinator? I just joined this podcast in September, so I'm sure you guys talked about that in the past, just much as I did. You're talking about an LSU team that ran for 500 yards going into this game. All year. 500 yards all year.
They were Mark that.
13th in the SEC with 83 yards per game rushing. And now they just ran for 321. And they only, and by the way, they only had 4 touchdowns this year rushing going into the Florida game. And then you get to Florida and Davis Price had 3 on his own.
Ty Davis Price in his career had 3 100-yard games. In that game, he broke the school rushing record.
Yeah.
Like, when it's bad, it's just weird. When it's bad for Florida, you know, for, you know, pun intended, it's historically bad for Florida when they're bad on defense.
Changes are going to have to be made. I think he knows that now. Missed tackles has been a big issue with this team all year long. Again, that falls on Grantham. You brought up a great point with Price, whoever it may have been.
The yards before contact.
Yeah, the yards before contact. Yeah. Because I'm telling you, after contact, there are quite a few yards there too. Yet again, another theme for this team on Saturday, and that goes right back to discipline. I realize that, but when is this team going to play disciplined football? Dan and the staff, they've just not gotten it done this season. It's a tough take for Florida fans, especially when you're in year four of your program and you should be elevating and going up and improving, and you're not.
I don't want to see the shine starting to wear off because there's definitely a nice little rough patch there now. I was having this conversation with somebody on Saturday, yesterday, after the game. You know, when Dan Mullen came in, he was saying all the right things. You know, he acted like a guy who wanted to be here. A guy who, you know, I don't want to say here, a guy who wanted to be at Florida, a guy who, you know, preached the Gator standard, and we won't accept anything less, and we're going to, you know, compete to the last point, and we're going to, you know, give, you know, relentless effort, and that means we're just going to keep giving effort and keep trying because we're Gators and blah, 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 and all the dumb things that coaches always say. They have some dumb slogan. And now, you know, now that he's starting to experience some hardships, the Dan Mullen that you saw in 2018 getting off the plane, giving the Gator chop, he's gone to the wayside. You know, I think it's different Dan Mullen than we've seen in years past. What do you think?
Came in very Urban-like. You know, it sounded like all the same stuff Urban said when he took over at Florida. I was there. I remember all of that stuff. It doesn't look that way. And again, go back. You want to take your red pen and circle it? Recruiting. That's what you circle. You take that pen again, circle. There's one thing about staff continuity. When your staff is doing a great job, that's fabulous to have. But when you're going to be loyal to staff when they've been embattled, when the eye test is telling you, you need to move on, and you stick with it. You know, that's a whole other issue there. Florida, 4-6 in their last 10 games, Jake. 4-6 in their last 10. I get that Alabama has been two of those losses. I get that LSU has been two of those losses, but those were bad LSU teams for those losses. This was not the LSU team that won the national championship. That was not a great Oklahoma team that beat them either. 4-6 puts an exclamation point on what's going on right now. And Dan Mullen, anytime he gets a question about recruiting, about losing some key recruit here or there, or some recruits going elsewhere, he kind of always mocks the media and mocks the people, the fans who follow recruiting with the, well, just because they're on someone's board doesn't mean they're at the top of our board. You know, some snide comment like that. And we all know the truth. We all know the truth. That's a bunch of garbage. They were on the top of your board. That's why you were recruiting the heck out of them, but you missed them, and that was the question, and he doesn't like to answer that stuff. But this is kind of what the people who have followed recruiting for a long time, I'm kind of one of those guys. I don't call the kids now, but I follow it, and I keep up with what's going on. And I'm telling you, this is the stuff we were talking about a year ago. This is stuff we were talking about 2 years ago with Dan Mullen in this program, that recruiting's got to improve, guys. Recruiting's got to improve because, you know, that's a part of what's going on here. I'm not saying that it's 100% of what's going on. Please don't misunderstand me. But it's a big part of what's going on here.
Yeah, it's looking a lot like the guy he got fired before him. You know, in terms of recruiting, I think we've pretty much touched on everything. You know, it's hard to remember every single thing you want to talk about when you have so many things happen in a game like they did. I think I'll just add this. For some reason, LSU and Florida keep playing in these games where they are instant classics for everybody else, but the fan base is rooting for them. There are two games that are instant classics that neither fan base wants to be on the wrong side of.
So where do we go from here? Dan Mullen, it's simple. Well, if I'm Scott Strickland, there's no way that I offer any kind of extension to Dan Mullen after this season. You simply, you know, and look, this happens every year. The AD sits down with a coach. The agent gets involved, and they want an extension to show that the program's heading in the right direction, and there's a feel-good moment there. It's good for recruiting. You know, they go sell it to the recruits. Hey, I got another extension. I'm going to be here for 7 more years or 6 more years or 5 more years or whatever it is. And we've seen these things just get way out of line. And, of course, that pushes the numbers up and the buyout. There's no way Scott Strickland has to sit across that desk and say, we're not even discussing an extension. Don't even mention it. And certainly Dan's got the line has to be drawn with Dan. You got to make some changes. What are you doing? You know? And Dan's going to have to part with the ego a little bit and bite the bullet and say, this is what I'm going to do. And this is how it's going to be. And, you know, this should be a time when this is great. Because you've got a standalone football facility coming along. You've got stadium enhancement. Scott Strickland's already tweeted out about that and discussed it. You've got a program that had been seemingly on the right road. You know, even after the loss to Alabama last year in the SEC championship game, number one, he got you to the SEC championship game. And you lost narrowly. Although, you know, the loss to LSU was horrible in, you know, the week before that. You were okay with that. After that loss to Alabama in the SEC championship game, I think most people were, I still think the program's heading in the right direction, although I sure would like to see him part ways with Grantham or do this or do that. He did none of that. I mean, Grantham and Mullen got together and said, look, our issues are in the back end of the defense. Here's where we're going to make changes. They did. And, you know, I think there are some things that are going on back there, as you and I discussed, with the safety play that looks better now. But overall, there's still issues on that defense. And now we're at another crossroads with Mullen. That would be my initial take. There are a lot of fans that are ready to part ways with Mullen. They don't feel like he's the guy. And I know you've probably heard and talked to some of those people as well.
Yeah, I think you're seeing a lot more people that are like, you know, yeah, Dan's got to go. They just don't see any kind of solution or anything kind of positive happening here on out. So they are, I mean, they're very much okay if Dan just wants to go take a job with insert NFL team here. By all means, go do it. At least in their book.
Who's gonna hire him?
God, I don't know.
I don't see that.
He wouldn't hire his NFL coach. He'd be a quarterback coach.
Yeah, he'd be a coordinator, maybe. He should be, but.
And speaking of that, I wonder how much it is that he's missing a Brian Johnson.
I'm sure a lot.
You know, because he was there for all 3 years. He's been with, you know, Dan forever. Now he's gone. He's doing whatever he's doing in the NFL with Jalen Hurts. You know, I wonder how much of that contributes to what we've seen in terms of how the offense has been going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at it, and I'm sure a lot of people would say right now, McGee, he can part with McGee, bring somebody else in. He can part with Hevesy. Well, of course, we've seen that for 2 years.
Hevesy will be on that sideline until he's dead. There's no way he's leaving.
I agree. I'm just saying what people are saying. And again, that's the problem with Mullen. And look, I believe Hevesy's a good coach in terms of developing talent, but the recruiting, it's not there. It's not there. And we all know that. Everybody knows that. Mullen knows that. I agree with you. He's not parting with him. But, you know, there are a lot of people who want to see Greg Knox gone too. You know, special teams play has not been that great. The running back room, the running backs have looked good. And look, I'm on board. Knox is another guy that can coach. When it comes to recruiting, he's not knocking it out. You know, the transfer portal's been very kind to him. Transfer portal's been unbelievably kind to the defense. But yeah, and so you know, there have to be some staff changes made, and Dan Mullen at some point has to realize since you are not the lockdown guy in recruiting, you're not the guy you're not a Saban, you're not a Kiffin, you're not a Kirby Smart, you're not an Urban. You know, you better bring in a few more guys in here that can not only coach and coach them up, but that can flat recruit, because that has been the problem at Florida since the guy took over from day one.
Yeah, I wonder if he goes out and maybe tries to get a guy from that LSU staff that's going to be breaking up. Or, how much of a
Miami staff?
How are the Miami staff? You know, Manny Diaz might be out of a job. Go get Manny to run the defense. He's coached under Dan before. You know, these all sound like pipe dream things anyway. But, go get a guy who's coached in Florida before, Brad Davis, the LSU offensive line coach, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Just not even that. And you got to give them credit, though, for the talent that they haven't got. They did get at least one in Naquan Wright in terms of the running back spot.
True. And, of course, now everything is recruiting. He's not going to give you many updates from the practice field. It's going to be the very bland stuff that we always get, which is fine. That's Dan. But the true attention of the staff is going to be on recruiting and preparation for Georgia. Next Friday night, they're going to be at a lot of games coming up. They're going to be out and about.
It's probably the most negative we've been all season, and rightfully so.
These things just aren't being addressed. It starts at the top, Dan. All right, I'm pretty much done. How about you?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've talked enough. And, by the way, I do want to say, they have harped on recruiting before. There was an episode that I missed where Brian went completely all in on how bad and subpar the recruiting's been. Well, so you can definitely get his opinion on that for sure.
Well, I'm sure we will. We need to bring him on next week and jump on with us about this. But there's just so much here that needs to be addressed. I mean, that's the bottom line. And the things that we saw as issues with this team, not the program, but just with this team, have not been fixed. They've not been fixed. Period. Missed tackles, not been fixed. Discipline, not been fixed. Developing red zone passing attack is getting better, but it's not been fixed. But it's gotten better. You know, I mean, we could go on and on. There are just so many things here that you just go, wow. All right, that's going to do it for me. I'm losing my voice again. I don't want to lose that. But Mark McLeod, you can follow me on Twitter at McLeod Live, McLeod. And Jake, always good to be on with you, my friend. I know we kind of went all in, but we're beating the same dead horse that we've been beating with regard to the team. But not only with regard to the team, with regard to the state of the program. These are the same issues that we've been talking about for 2 and 3 years. So that's why we're right back at them again. And these are the things that you're seeing happening on Saturday. So that's the bottom line for me. Jake, let me let you send it out of here, but always good to be on with you, my friend.
Yes, sir. Yeah, for just another one of those head-scratching losses that makes you question whether the guy you got's the right guy. But for Mark McLeod, that'll do it for the Gridiron Growl podcast. I'm Jake Hitt. You can follow Mark McLeod at McLeod Live. You can follow me at Jake_Hitt06, but for now, we'll see you later.